So I got a little bit of a alternative message for us today that kind of fits the theme of our modern world that we're living in. And when we see these things, I think it's important that we need to talk about them because it's greatly affecting our relationship with God. We know that Satan is a grand liar. It's one of his main tools that he uses in this war of good and evil. And he is the deceiver, making things that look normal, look like it's the right thing to do, but are actually completely not. So we're going to start off today. We're going to be in Romans, and we're going to be in chapter 1. And let's go through and let's start off in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Think about that for a moment. 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, God has shown it into them. For invisible things of him, for the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that, when they know God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory and uncorruptible God into an image made unto corruptible man, and to the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creepy things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor of their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this caused God to give up a vile affections, for even their women did change natural use unto which was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned into their lust one towards another, men with men, working which is unseemly and receiving themselves that repents their error which they did meet. And even if they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to which these things were not convinced. So, does any of that sound vaguely familiar to what's going on in the world today? I mean, we can paraphrase that. We move out of faith and we take the things of God and we take God from it. We take the credit from him. We take his existence from him and we put it on other things. We put it on to man. Man builds up his own self-worth. He puts himself in the center of the universe. He begins to worship things. And we change from what is natural. And when I say natural, what God has created us to be, with purpose, and we totally dismiss that purpose and we use it in unnatural ways, and we just completely and totally corrupt what God has done. I read an article the other day, and it was talking about women. And it was saying that women are the happiest when they are alone, out of a relationship, and with no children. So they can focus on themselves. They can focus on doing things, having adventures, creating memories, and they don't have this responsibility. And they don't have to worry about anyone else. And they can be independent and they can do all these things. And that's how you achieve happiness as a woman. And for many women that are unhappy, and face it, in the world that we live in today, it is very, very easy to be unhappy. And when we are unhappy, when we're facing with the emotions that drive us, we want to chase after the good ones and leave aside the bad ones. So when we are afraid, when we're being in fear, when we're sad, we're depressed, we have anxiety, when we have all these negative things, we want to find something that's going to take us from that. So you read something like this, and it says this, and it's like, whoa, wait, maybe that's my problem. Maybe that I am doing life wrong, and I need to make a change. But the problem is that this is in direct contrast to what God tells us. God tells us that we are meant to be a family, that children are a blessing, that husbands and wives, they come together to make one flesh, that we make the circle, we complete each other, that our strengths and weaknesses complement each other. It creates a whole package. Everything that God gives us is with purpose. I just was born just in the nick of time to be part of Generation X. And for most of the stuff that you hear about that generation, yes, I've drunk out of a water hose before. I've rented VHS tapes from Blockbuster, done all those things. I've experienced that the new technology came into play. There's a lot of things that I've done that my kids will not experience because it simply doesn't exist anymore. I also grew up reading the newspaper, and the 6 o'clock news was on every night. And what I picked up from that is very different from what is picked up today. Words that we hear each and every day that society, that the world is trying to make normal, I didn't grow up with. The only thing that I knew was trans was the Transformers. You know, the little cars that turned into robots. That was the only trans thing that we were dealing with. Gender. That was pretty simple too. You know, when you grow up on the farm, you learn that real quick. When you have a new litter of something, you just go along and you turn them upside down. And that's how you determine which ones are the males and which ones are the females. When we walked around in society, we were taught respect. You said, no, sir. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And you could attach that last part, that sir or that ma'am, because you could look at a person and you knew exactly what you were looking at. And we've came now to these lies of Satan that says that all of these things that I grew up with as facts are not the case anymore. And we have to See, it's real simple because, you know, you can start throwing daggers at me and say, why are we even talking about this? You know, you're being whatever name you want to call me because I'm not being accepting of a way of life, an alternative lifestyle, let's say. But we have to look at the purpose of why Satan wants you to believe these lies. One reason is to put a distrust between people and God. And we do that by saying that, well, you feel a certain way. And I'm not going to argue the fact that you feel a certain way. It's proven that these things happen, that people have certain attractions. They have certain things that they feel about the way that they look. This is scientific fact. But we get the notion of one of two things. All right, the first thing is that because you feel a certain way and it is in direct contradiction with the Word of God, that the Word of God must be fake. It must be false. It must be untrue because the two things does not line up. So we have people that go against the Word of God. They go against God in general. They speak against Him because the Word does not line up with how they feel. Now, the problem with that is that the Word of God is the absolute truth. We have to have faith. We have to believe that. And we can talk about a few things about the Word. Now, you can have people that go in and they can, you know, pick things apart and they can point out things that they perceive as problems. But the problem with that is they haven't gone deep enough. And we've talked about before in the past how we go in with a preconceived notion that we have our mind made up a certain way, and all we're doing is to look in the Word to try to prove or disprove what we've already made up our minds, where we should be approaching it with an open mind, where we should be studying it. We should be looking to where the evidence takes us. And the fact is that no person has ever created another literary work that functions the way the Word of God does. We have factual evidence that there was a person named Jesus of Nazareth that existed, walked on this earth, was crucified. Now, of course, we've had elaborate hoaxes over the years, but I'd have to say that Jesus was really committed to his hoax, that he would go all the way and put himself up on that cross just to create a work of fiction. You know, another thing that we can look at is that who did Jesus show himself to first? It was a couple of women. Why is that significant? Well, if you look at the time, you look at when these events taken place, that was not how you add credibility to your story. If you was trying to make a hoax, if you was trying to make this something unreal, if you were just telling a story, there would not have been women to see him first. Women were, at that time, second class. They were underneath men. That to make a more reliable, relatable story, if in fact we were formulating a story, we would have put men there. We had the apostles that went through a lot, including their own crucifixions, deaths, because they stood up for Jesus. They made that turning point, and they were so faith-filled at that point that nothing else mattered. Their only motivation was the truth of what Jesus had accomplished. Every person else has ever fabricated something, did it with purpose. They were trying to make money off of it. They were trying to gain fame or recognition. They were trying to do something. There was no motivational factors other than the fact than faith. Jesus is real. The Word of God is real. And we go back to it at any time that we have a conflict of what God says and how we feel, the problem lies with us. Because everything God does with purpose. And then we have the next batch of people. That they believe. They believe there is a God. They believe there is a Jesus. But they have this situation that they're in. And that they feel that God made them that way. Now let's address that. God does not make anyone in contradiction to His Word. God makes us in His image, man and woman. He created them both, and only man and woman. Told us to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, fill the world. He tells us we come together as man and woman, husband and wife. We create a family. These are all the things that God tells us. So, if we are to say that God created us in a way that is anything but what the Word tells us we are to be, what does that say about God? It's trying to convince us that what? God made a mistake? That He stuffed the wrong soul in the wrong body? That something went wrong during the process? If we are to believe this, then we have to believe that a child born with a birth defect is God's intention. We have to believe that a child that is born with a disability, a disease, or doesn't even make it through the early stages is God's idea of what He wanted to do. And that is simply not the case. Well, then you say, well, how does all these things happen? We live in a fallen world of sin. It is the environment that we are in. The Word of God tells us that we're given 120 years as our lifespan. But yet, if someone makes it to 100, that's a grand achievement. The average life expectancy of a male, I think, is like 79. So we're not even getting remotely close to where it should be. And we see that the people in the Old Testament, some of them lasted hundreds and hundreds of years. And we've had this decline. And through history, we have times when that life expectancy goes way down based on the environment. And that's just more evidence to what we're talking about. Bad environment, lower lifespan. And then technology and these different things come about, and we're able to live longer and last longer. Why is it so difficult for us to make it? And look at the condition of people. We fear growing old because of how our body reacts to it. We go from being able to move around and being active and doing all these things, and our health rapidly declines. You talk to someone in their old age and you ask them how they're doing, it's like, well, I'm still here. And that's about the best thing they can say. And you have to ask yourselves why that is. We look backwards. First of all, let's look at the example that God given us. The Garden of Eden. You know, we talked about that everything has to be in the environment. Well, when they were in that environment, whenever they were in the presence of God, everything was perfect. There was no sickness. There was no sadness. The food that they had was pure. So today they try to get you to buy organic. That's the big selling thing. But the problem is that everything that we touch is tainted by sin. The entire world fell. Everything is affected by sin. So nothing is without it. The only thing that has been on this earth since the fall of man that was without sin was Jesus himself. Everything else is affected by it in one way, shape, or form. And we look at what we take in. There's so many dyes and chemicals, and we keep thriving to make things cheaper and sell them for more money, for more profits. And the benefits to the human body goes to the wayside. We treat every condition, every ailment, with some kind of a pill. Do you ever listen to them commercials when they come on TV? See, we hear them so much that it just becomes what we call normal. But then they tell about whatever the condition is. You might have eczema, so you're going to need to take this pill to cure your eczema. And of course, who wouldn't want to have better skin? It doesn't itch, right? But then they start listing off all of the possible side effects. And they run it real fast at the end. They have some small print at the bottom of the screen, and they're telling you all these things. And lo and behold, the side effects are worse than the thing that you're trying to treat. But we do it anyway. Let's go back and we'll talk about my generation. I can remember that, you know, we had to be in front of the TV whenever the stuff aired live, because it wasn't all the ways that we can access media today. We didn't have streaming services. And if you were going to record something to watch it later, you had to set up the old VCR. Hope that timer worked out right. You didn't have it set for PM instead of AM or vice versa. And we had to make quick runs to the kitchen for a snack during the commercial break. There was no stopping, pausing it. But besides all that, the content. See, whenever my generation was, we had the stuff that came on currently, and you could watch that, and it showed family units. A mom, a dad, a whole bushel of kids, and the happy times, the sad times, the things that happen in a family. It mirrored life enough that it was relatable, but it was also entertaining. And we also could look it back. Remember Nick at Night, when we have the old TV shows from the 50s, the 60s, 70s. And it was even different then because they had modernized things a little bit. And we had some of the modern things that was brought into it. But as we went back, they were very careful about what they showed on television. They showed Mike and Carol Brady in their bedroom, in the same bed. It was all covered up. You couldn't see anything. Everything was completely innocent and no different than we'd seen in any other American household. But it was different for the time because that was not something that we portrayed on television. That was too risque. And if you backed up even further, we didn't see joint beds that... Even the married couples had their own little separate bed because that was a way of TV keeping things wholesome. And the further back we went, the more that was. We didn't have what we have today, and which is we have portrays. We have center stage of alternative lifestyles. People that make up a small percentage of the population, they say, are represented in almost every new production that comes out today. That is not by accident. Because Satan is spreading a lie. And the more he puts it in your face, the more that we perceive it as to be normal. And they keep telling us that you're not happy. But you know, that's not what the studies show. As these different generations move on, as the decades move on, people are becoming less happy. There is, right now, the highest number in history of people on antidepressants. People that are in therapy. We have the highest divorce rate. And as we go back in time, those numbers go down. But we have to look at another chart to help understand what the cause of this is. Also, as we move forward, right now, less people are affiliated with church than ever before in history. Less people are affiliated with church, less than ever in history. We have more non-believers, atheists, agnostic, than ever before in history. And yet we have all of these things that are running rapid. The high divorce rate, the high use of antidepressants, the high unhappiness. And to combat this, they're saying that it's because you need something different. They have a what we call the traditional wife, which is the wife, the mother, the homemaker that does, dare I say, gender roles and does things that was commonly done by the wife and mother in the household. Take care of the home, take care of the kids, cook the meals. And then the husband would have his gender roles where he would take care of certain things, the lawn, the maintenance, go to work. And today's modern society is painting this as a horrible idea. That they're even to the point that if you are in this role, this traditional role, you are put down. And it started a while back, and it's just kept growing and developing into something more. That we put down the stay-at-home mother. We put down the traditional wife. And they are attacked by their fellow woman. Because it seemed as an attack on what they believe. And they're trying to force this new belief system onto everybody. And they're trying to make it seem that if it's a bad idea to follow, not tradition, but to follow God. See, they don't come right out and say that. But that is the end result is that we don't are not trying to attack tradition or patriarchy, or it's not a feminism movement. It is an underlying attack on God. And what Satan does is he takes these people that are easily influenced, that are already building up these random thoughts in their mind that they have not seized and taken control over, and he whispers in their ear these lies. And it's like, you need to attack this. This is not good for who you are. This is not good for who they are. And he's twisted it so much that he's making it seem like it's a good idea to attack other people for them following the Word of God. And see, the things that they don't tell you is, because Satan don't want you to know, is that, you know, they've asked people. And that women are actually happier when they perform these traditional roles. And you can say, why would that be? How is it that someone could be happy doing these meaningless tasks, they say, that have no real achievement, no real, you don't have a career, you're not being independent, you're not doing all these things that the world says that you need to do. Because God didn't create us to do all the things that the world tells us to do. God created us with purpose. And the only way for us to truly be happy is to fulfill that purpose. Remember, when we are out of our environment, we die. And that's what we keep doing. We keep pulling ourselves and trying to pull everybody else out of the environment that we were meant to be able to flourish. And we're not flourishing at all. Everything is falling apart. And it's because God isn't part of it. And it doesn't even have to be these big things. It's little things. It's just changing a few words. And we see it, and it starts to implant ideas into our mind. Right now, there's a big talk about abortion. But every time I see an article about it now, it doesn't talk about women. And you say, well, why? Why? Every article about abortion should talk about women. It should be women's health, women's rights, women's condition. Because only a woman, a God-created, born woman, can get pregnant. But yet, every article says a pregnant person. What is that? What is that? We are erasing what God has created. God created man, and he created woman, and he gave them both very unique traits and abilities. And Satan is trying to completely smudge that image. He's trying to take that away to the point where we are not even using correct terminology anymore. The world is trying to do away with women completely. They'll have those people standing up before Congress. What is a woman? They'll ask. And they cannot give a response. We've created these ideas in our heads that things are simply not what they are. And it goes through the same on the other side of the spectrum as well. We're trying to destroy what a man is. We're trying to take the things that make him a man, his masculinity, and we call it toxic. We call it unnecessary. We call it aggressive. God made us with purpose. One is to protect, to work, to be able to stand up for what is right. You know how we stop evil? You put big, scary people in front of it to say no. And if they don't take no for an answer, you force it. There is a time and a place for everything. Being meek and mild doesn't mean you have to be weak. It means being strong and knowing when to use it. It's being able to carry that sword, but know the right time to pull it from its sheath. And that goes for both sides. See, because, you know, when we're in our little groups and we're talking about things, we want to fit in. So many times we do stuff, we say stuff, and we act a certain way just to be part of the group. But how do you really feel when it's just you alone? God didn't make mistakes. He didn't make a mistake of how he told us to act, what we should do, what our purpose is. He didn't make a mistake when he created us and put us in the wrong body. He didn't make a mistake when he told us what a family looks like, what a man should be, what a woman should be. It is Satan, it is mankind, it is sin, it is the world that has perverted and changed our image of what all these things should be. And it's all a lie. It's to weaken us. It's to put us on the wrong path. There's people that have went their whole entire life and they have turned away from God. And that does not change the fact that there will be a great judgment. That this is just a blip on the radar, and we have an eternity to spend somewhere else, either in heaven or in hell. And I guarantee you, folks, there is going to be not one non-believer in hell. It's going to come a time that you're going to realize that I was wrong. I have made a huge, huge mistake that I cannot go back and fix. All because that I have given in to things. Now, one more thing. Many times as Christians, we handle these situations totally and completely wrong. Because we all are sinners. We all have things that we deal with, just not always is there our stuff as public. Not always is it so visible. We all have our challenges that we face. When we can visually see things that goes against the Word of God, when we see actions that go against the Word of God, it is not our job to judge. Because that's what happens so much, and that just further exacerbates the problem. Because here we now have Christians that are going against their fellow man. We're supposed to be loving and accepting, and we're supposed to be this beacon of light. And instead, we are shunning people because they don't look, talk, and act like us. Church is a hospital for sinners, not a hotel for saints. I know that's corny, but that's the best way of putting it. We have to allow people to hear the word. Let the Spirit work. Let God do His thing. It's not our job. We can't change anyone's heart. We can't give anybody salvation. All we can do is tell how God has worked in our life. That's all we can do. We can't force anybody to act a certain way. And many times all we're doing is pushing them away. And if you are struggling with your identity, who you are, how you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. This just happens to be what you're dealing with at the time. Right now, there's such a push that we should let our kids choose. And if they're feeling a certain way, that we should support that. Well, I say it's our job as parents is to teach. And when we see a situation like this arise, we need to say, this is how you should act because you are this way and this is what the Word of God says. But so many times now, since we can have our 15 minutes of fame and we can have our social media following and we have all of our likes, we want to be trendy and we want to be a trendsetter and part of the group, so we exploit our own children for that clout. And you say, look at me, I'm supportive and I'm progressive and all these things that go along with today's terminology. Children cannot make these decisions. That's why we don't let them do anything else. But all of a sudden now, this one thing is okay. I did another 15-year study, and it says that almost in all cases, that this becomes a fad with children, and that they will grow out of it. It's just a phase of life, and they will grow out of it. They will change their minds once they start maturing and developing and experiencing more things. They will change their mind. How many times in life have we done that? Have we been so bent on doing or acting a certain way, and then all of a sudden it changes like a switch? We're into soccer 1 month, and the next month we want to go to basketball. We want to learn how to play the guitar, and then video games take over. You think it'd be fun to be a pirate, and then all of a sudden we realize that we have to get a corporate job. That's life. We tend to change. And we can't be making life-altering decisions at a young age because we feel a certain way. Feelings come and go and change upon a whim. But the Word of God lasts forever. So when we're in these situations and the Word is telling us something different, we need to not blame God. See, because two things can be true. You can feel a certain way and you can still be a believer. But you need to understand that what you're feeling or the way that you're living at a certain point in life may not line up with the Word of God. And if you can just make that simple truth to yourself, if you can just accept that, you don't have to change or do anything else. Just accept that the way I think, the way I believe, does not line up with the Word of God. And you may not know what to do with it at that point, and that is fine. But that's a start. A start and a way to be able to coexist with the things that are driving you and God. And over time, God, first of all, He's going to accept you. He's not excluding you. He's not shunning you. He's not pushing you away. And what He's going to do is He's going to work with you. And you can start to come into your purpose, who you are, and what you're supposed to be. We don't have to be defined where we are right now, and we don't have to be defined about our past. We just have to understand truth. And we may not like it, because we all have things sometimes that we look into the Word, and God wants us to act and do a certain way, and we simply just don't want to. But it doesn't change the fact that God is right and God has purpose. And then we can start looking at it. Okay, God, why do you want me to be this way? Why should I make an attempt to change? And he's going to start opening them doors and giving you the answers that you seek and the knowledge that you want. And that is how change can happen. We can all coexist if we can choke back the feelings a little bit, if we can let go of the stubbornness and just have a little bit of faith.